Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord to everyone. Tonight I want to talk about whether or not we are sending out the correct or the right message. And at the same time, I want to caution us that we be careful what we say or how we say things in the midst of the congregation or even in our prayers. I cringe when I hear statements that suggest that believers or Christians are exempt from the virus. Not only does it make accusations about an individual's faith in Jesus Christ, but it also suggests that the coronavirus is a punishment sent from God to only non-believers. This is clearly not the plan of our Lord and Jesus Christ. I read Luke 9:56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Also in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Let me say this. Sometimes false teaching is not deliberate. A deliberate attempt to misguide or mislead individuals is called heresy. Now, whether the false teaching is deliberate or not, it can cause serious harm and destruction to the people. In other words, false teaching or misguided teaching can draw people away from the church instead of drawing them to the church. So, how does this come about? How does this happen? False or misguided teachings? Well, I have three causes, but I'm not going to go into great details because that's not tonight's discussion. But I will recommend this book if you want a deeper understanding. And the book is called Spiritual Avalanche by Stephen Hill. I urge you to pick up the book or download the book. You will not be disappointed. So, cause number one. Whenever there is an exaggeration of biblical truth that go beyond what scripture says, it will cause harm. Cause number two, when biblical truths are taught to exclude other biblical truths, it will cause a dangerous imbalance. Cause number three, people will become vulnerable as well as exposed when they ignore and reinterpret biblical truths. Now, I mentioned these possible causes or reasons only as a source for my concern, as expression of my concerns. And I'm not the only one who has these concerns, or these concerns are on their mind, but I have talked to other fellow Christians, fellow believers, pastors, preachers, and layperson. And they also express concerns. Now, I want to pause here to play a song called The Promise by The Martins. I don't know if you'll be able to hear the song clearly, so I suggest that you might want to listen to it later on.
I never said that I you still broke, or that you would never feel the fire, a shiver in the cold. But I did say you never walk through this world alone. And I did say Don't make this world your home. I didn't say that fear would find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you'd never have to fight. But I did say I'd be right there by your side. Thank you, sweet Jesus. And I did say I'll always help you fight. You know I made a promise that I intend to keep. My grace will be sufficient in every time of need. My love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you. I never said that friends would never turn their backs on you, or that the world around you wouldn't see you as a fool. But I did say that you'll surely be this side. And I did say my ways confound the wise. I didn't say you'd never taste the bitter kiss of death, or have to walk through chilly Jordan to get a rest to rest. But I did say I'd be waiting right on the other side. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I did say I'll try every tear you cry. You know I made a promise that I'll prepare a place. Yet someday sooner than you think, you'll see me face to face. And you'll sing with the angels and the countless multitudes. This is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you. I don't know where you're walking, but I know where life never takes you. He will pursue you forever. You with the one who will never let you go. He's able to do love and beyond anything we could ever ask to make. So lost, keep on walking. Don't turn to the left or right. And in the midst of darkness, let this be your light. The hell has separated us, and you're gonna make it through. This is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you.
I love that song. I play it, not always, but I play it a lot. So let me get into the meat of this evening's lesson. Whether or not we are sending the right or correct message to the people. At the beginning of the pandemic, Psalms 91:1 became the poster scripture. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This scripture was cited or read as a encouragement to encourage the people of God. And I don't have a problem with that, because the word is always in order. The word is always right. And as believers, that's all we have, the Word of God is the most important tool that we have. However, when we cite or read scriptures, we must consider the content as well as the context of a scripture or scriptures. Let's face it, this is the reality. Some people will get this sickness and be healed, whereas some will die as a result of this sickness. This includes believers as well. So, to suggest that Psalms 91:1 means that we as believers can't get the virus is just misguided. In Psalms 91:1, the key word here is abide, which means that we are in accordance with Jesus Christ. And because we are in accordance with Jesus, we find peace. Because we are in accordance with Jesus Christ, we still are able to lift up our hands and say hallelujah. We still find ways to give him praise and worship him. Because we have faith in his birth, death, and resurrection, and because we are in accordance with his word, we are protected from the snares of this world. We are protected from the devil's influences, which try or attempt to draw us away from Jesus Christ. And when we are drawn away from Jesus Christ, what happens? Fear, anxiety, anxiousness will prevail. Now, this second reference, I did not hear, but it was shared by a pastor friend of mine. And that is the case with the plagues in Goshen. God said that he would protect the children of Israel. And he mentioned that if you look further, four of those plagues did affect the children of Israel. Israel, who was God's chosen people, God's chosen generation. They were affected by four of the plagues. It didn't kill them, but they were affected. Just like this pandemic that we are experiencing today, it is affecting the church. It is affecting the church. We have services from Facebook, live services from Facebook, live services from YouTube, and doing Bible study from various video conferencing apps. And going back to Psalms 91:1, God will protect us. If you are abide, the key word there is abide. If you are abiding, if you are in accordance with Jesus, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, he will protect you from the snares of this world, from the devices of the devil who tries to influence us, who tries to draw us away from Jesus Christ, away from the truth. That's why it's so important that we do that. It's important what we say and make sure that we say the correct thing, that we're sending out the correct message. I always end it, or in the middle of our conversation, my hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is not in the government. It is in Jesus Christ. And going back to Psalm 91, I have to go back to Psalm 91:1. If you're abiding, if you're in that secret place, in other words, you have a connection with Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are at peace. And the fear of dying of the coronavirus is not the issue. Remember the song. Go back to the song again. I never said I would give you silver or gold, or that you would never feel the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'll never walk through this world alone. And I did say, don't make this world your home. 'Cause you know I made a promise that I intend to keep. My grace will be sufficient in every time of need. And my love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise. This is the promise I made to you. We are abiding in Christ. We are abiding in Christ. I never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you'll never have to fight. But I did say, I'll be right there by your side. And I did say, I'll always help you fight. God's protection. That's God's protection. That's the protection God's talking about in Psalms 91 and 1. I never said that friends would never turn their backs on you, or that the world around you wouldn't see you as a fool, but I did say, like me, you'll surely be despised, and I did say, my ways confound the wise. The virus, this pandemic, yes, it is affecting us. Yes, it will affect you. Yes, there will be fear. Yes, there will be questions. But here's the key. If you're abiding in the secret place, most holy, then you still find peace. You are not running scared. You're not running like a chicken without a head. I didn't say that you'll never taste the bitter kiss of death or have to walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest. But I did say I'll be waiting right on the other side. And I did say I'll dry every tear you cry. There's the hope, people. There's the hope. Coronavirus, heart attack, cancer, fatal accident, natural cause, whatever. This world is not our home. We all have to leave this world. My brother reminded me something that my father used to say. No one leaves here alive. So whether it be the coronavirus, whether it be cancer, whether it be heart disease, you will leave this world. But isn't it great to know? Here's the hope. I have a better place to go to. Here's the hope. God is preparing a place for me. And when I leave this world, I'm going to a better place. I saw on the news where some person was carrying a sign, and it read, I'm dying in this house. I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. I'd rather die with the coronavirus. And I said to them, well, I yelled at the TV, not if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal savior. You don't want to leave this world without knowing Jesus as your savior. This world is not our home. We're going to have trials. We're going to have issues. I have two questions. What if we never get back to 162 Martin Luther King Drive, Jersey City, New Jersey, home of House of Prayer Church? May I suggest that you change your mindset. If you start in your sentences or your phrases with, oh, I can't wait till I get back to the church. Oh, when I get back, I'm going to do such and such, etc., etc. You need a mind change. Because when you say stuff like that, I don't really say things like that. Because for me, it increases your anxiety. It increases your anxiousness. It also suggests that you have put your walk with Jesus, your salvation, in a hiatus status. It's on a pause. It's on a pause. No. It's on hold. No. We can't have that. We are still obligated to fulfill the Great Commission. We still have the charge on us to compel men and women to Jesus Christ, to invite them to Jesus Christ, to invite them to Jesus Christ, to compel them. We still have to win souls. We still have to win souls for Christ. Our obligations and our duties, is God has not canceled them because there is a pandemic. God always sends a warning when he's making a declaration or he's bringing about judgment. He always gives his people a warning. So my second question is, what if this pandemic is a warning to the church? And I'm referring to, when I say church, I'm talking about the brick and mortar church. Church with a small c, not a capital C. Because the capital C, if we say church with a capital C, we're referring to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the church. That Jesus Christ is the church. Now, turn with me to Amos, the 4th chapter. And it reads, "Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. And you shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer wine devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come upon your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thou God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, who is this? The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name.
So, why the charge? They were going to their assembly. They were paying their tithes and giving what other tributes they needed to do. In other words, they were doing all that they were asked to do, or what they thought they were supposed to do. So why the charge by God? Answer: because their actions were not out of love. Because their heart was not with God. The Lord was not the object of their faith. They had not established the Lord as their God. Therefore, they just was doing rituals. It was a tradition. They were doing it out of tradition. The children of Israel had no remorse, regret, and they were not even sorry for their actions or behavior. That's why God placed a charge on them. So, just as God warned the people of Israel, the children of Israel, perhaps he's warning us today. Warning the church, warning us, believers, disciples, whatever title or description you want to give yourself as a witness for Jesus Christ. This pandemic is a warning to the church. Maybe he's warning us, get my church in order. We have shepherds, pastors of the house, allowing individuals, iconic people, to take center stage to speak to your people, which God has put in your care to lead and guide, to use God's house as a marketing vineyard. We have pastors, leaders, who are defying the stay-at-home mandate. They are defying the ban on large gatherings. To me, it's teaching the people to disobey those who have rule over them. As long as they are not going against the law, the commandments of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to obey those who have rule over us. Whenever God allows shattering things to happen in this world, Christians, believers, our voices should be louder. God's church, God's house. Here's the message, people. Okay, we got to stay at home. okay, we can't have large gatherings. Here's the correct message. God don't need a building to do his work. God's church is not brick and mortar. God's house is not meat and drink. In the midst of this pandemic, Jesus Christ stands in the midst of it to welcome you into his arms. Whatever. There's other things that can take you out of this world. Don't leave this world without Jesus. Continue to read Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, or any other scripture that will encourage you, that will maintain you, that will help you get better understanding. But make sure you get the correct message. You're going to leave this world, but do not leave this world without Jesus Christ, without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must have eternal life before you leave. One into the church. Continue to preach and teach the gospel and salvation, rightly dividing the word of God, so that we don't stray people away from the love of Jesus Christ, which is crucial for them to have before they leave this earth. Hey, if we continue to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we might be banned and we can't see one another. Here's the hope. We will see one another in heaven, which will be a better and bigger gathering. God bless. I'm done.